open public input. Well, this is a particularly important special part of the agenda when we travel, because we don't come over to Eastern Washington too often, mainly because of our budget pressures. The commission decided to curtail some of our travel several years ago when the recession hit and our budget was cut severely. So it's unique, it's special for us to get over to the east side, and we do look forward to hearing your views. We have commission rules. I always go through the rules so everyone is aware. The commission provides each citizen 3 minutes to testify during these open public input items. And we want you to come forward and sit in front of a mic. You don't have to be too close to the mic. But as you speak, keep your ears open for the beeping noise. That means your time is up, and we'd like you to conclude your remarks. Some people get so involved in what they're saying they can't hear the beeping noise, in which case I'll let you know. And I'll call you up two at a time to make it more efficient. Gary Duvia, please come forward, and Dave Duncan. Mr. Duvia, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate receiving all your fellow commissioners and
the We can't hear you very well.
Hang on.
Keep talking.
Okay. Tammy's turning up the volume.
Keep talking.
She's doing this deliberately.
There you go.
I know Tammy always says that to me. She always turned my mic down when I was up there. I just wanted to take a few moments and touch upon an issue that we worked on together on, and that's the four-point restrictions we put in Northeast Washington. And as you know, we're in the mix of this study. When we passed that, we knew that the life cycle of ungulates for whitetail was about 5 years. And so we can't conclude anything. We're only in our third year, but I wanted to provide an update so that you knew what was going on. So far, the data is to be determined going forward, but it's critical that we maintain this study for the full five-year cycles to see whether or not point restrictions do play a vital role in our population recoveries. And so far, I'm kind of pleased with what the initial information shows. In the two GMUs that we have this in, out of the eight that are available in Northeast Washington, the harvest rates have increased 51% in the last 3 years. And that's the fastest increase. The other six units have increased at the rate of 21%. So our harvest now in these two units is greater than it was when we had it for all buck harvests. And we're strictly liking those. The trend there is to get us back this year exceeding previous harvest records. We've also seen a minor uptick in participation by hunters more than in these two GMUs more than the other six. The buck doe ratio has increased 50% in spite of the fact that we've eliminated all antlerless take in those units, which is about 1,200 deer. So the tremendous increase in buck doe ratio, which is kind of a key part of trying to get the population numbers back. We've been in a long downturn cycle. We've been harvesting in Northeast Washington about 8,000 to 10,000 whitetail a year, and we're now down to 4,000 to 5,000. And that's our best indication that our population is still way under objective. But we reversed that trend in 2011, and it's starting to come back up. But we're still 40% or below objective. And you can use that on a 10-year average or whatever numbers you want. So we got a lot of work to go, and we've got a lot of issues that are still impacting that herd. As everyone knows, we have a few predators in that area And so it's going to be more and more difficult for us to recover that population unless we use all the tools that we have in our toolkit. And we need to start practicing more aggressively some of those other tools to alleviate a lot of the conflict that the wolf is bringing to us, particularly.
Thank you. I thought I'd let people on the commission ask you questions. You were the chair of the Wildlife Committee when we decided on this four-point restriction you're talking about. And I think I recall at the meeting in Moses Lake last year, you raised the youth exemption as something that we intended to include, or the Wildlife Committee intended to include, but it didn't get in the CR 102 so that we couldn't make that change last year. But do you have some thoughts on, I think in this year's three-year plan, we're talking about disabled seniors and youth exemptions. Do you want to comment on that?
Thanks, Madam Chair. That is a major issue. And as you might recall, I brought it up in our Moses Lake meeting that initially when we passed the four-point, we excluded youth from being excluded and being able to hunt any buck. Our legal counsel told us that we couldn't add that to the rulemaking without being included in the CR 102. So we had to re-vote and pass it without that. We asked 3 years in a row to add youth back into it, and it hasn't happened. And I'm disappointed again to see that the proposals put in front of you did not allow the youth only to be added to it. Again, I remind you that we're trying to study this to see what really the impact is on a point restriction. If we add in disabled and seniors in that, we probably will distort the numbers over the five-year period. But I think it's logical and reasonable and can be significantly non-significant impact if we put youth back in. So I'd really propose that when you get to the rulemaking that you exclude youth from the four-point restriction going forward. And we should be, I think, the only real negative part we're hearing is from that. And as I think you and everybody in the state is trying to get more youth involvement, and this is one way to help head that direction.
Thanks. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Thank you.
Can I make one quick comment? Okay. I know you're going to start looking at your draft on the six-year plan, and I think there's some significant revisions that you need, so I hope you guys put some time in on that one. There are some parts of it that I think you'll be brought your attention that's got to be addressed before this is adopted. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Jack Fields, could you come forward? Okay. Mr. Duncan, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Madam Chairman. Is this thing working? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Good morning, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Mr. Storr. My name is Dave Duncan. I live in Ellensburg, Washington. I'm the WCA Committee Chair for the Rancher Sportsman Wildlife ESA Committee, and I'm a member of the GMAC. On August 16th at GMAC meeting, the GMAC rejected the predator-prey interaction section and the cougar bear management sections of the 2015-21 game management plan. Myself, of the Macaw Tribe, and four sportsmen's organizations represented the GMAC in a meeting in Olympia Wednesday the 24th, just 2 days ago. Our concerns were the effect predators have on the prey base and how it would be measured and controlled into the future. We had a very positive meeting and agreed on some wording changes to the 2015-21 game management plan. We also agreed to the studying of recruitment of fawns and our calves in areas where we're not meeting big game management plans as a basis for defining what species of predator, disease, et cetera, might or might not be causing the recruitment problem. We also identified the funding source, hopefully, for these recruitment studies would be the PR bump, which is sportsman dollars. I believe, and the group agrees, that it's very important to have a good foundation now for scientific game management into the future as to on the predator-prey relationships. Thank you. And I'd like to make one other comment. I'm on the allocation committee, and the allocation committee really feels strongly that the one group that has been overlooked the last few years is youth. So that is a comment to what Gary was talking about earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Pat Brown, do you come forward? Mr. Field, good to see you, too.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jack Field, I'm the Executive Vice President of the Washington Cattlemen's Association, and here to touch on a couple things. I had omitted one item. Just to echo Mr. Duncan's comments, we appreciate the commission giving the direction to the staff to meet with stakeholders on the game management plan. That was something that had been, we spent quite a bit of time at the last commission meeting. We thoroughly appreciate that. I think we made some very good gains, had opportunities to learn a little bit more from the department's perspective, why some of those decisions might have been made. And as we had an opportunity to explain our concerns, I think there is a very good understanding from both sides. I guess the other thing I'd like to talk a little bit, I'd like to thank the department and the commission, as well as your regional and local folks on the ground for the ability and the way you've really stepped up to help those ranchers impacted by the fires from the Carlton Complex. I know whenever we talk about grazing here at the commission, people get a little nervous. There have been a few bumps and bruises along the ways, but I thoroughly appreciate the ability and willingness for the department to step up as you have. You've done some great things. That the local folks on the ground have identified some areas, which is going to be a huge help to some of those ranch families that have been impacted. Kudos to you. Thank you for that. We hope that we can continue to work together to make more opportunities like this available in the future as other fires may occur. But again, thank you. One last item in regards, we'll be talking about the Wolf Management Group a little bit later. I am a member of the Wolf Advisory Group, and I hope that we'll have an opportunity. We, in my opinion, as a member, we need clear direction from you, the Commission, what your objectives are for us coming out of that. We spent an hour and a half in a circular discussion on the Ruby Female yesterday, and as a member, I don't believe we gave you, the Commission, any worthwhile information. As a member, I'd like to know what you need from us. Do you want to have a vote clear up or down with a record of each organization or individual, where they are, what their concerns are? Would you like us to try to form some type of a consensus-based outcome? I do not believe we need a facilitator. I think Mr. Geddes does a wonderful job there. Individuals aren't being overshadowed or eliminated. He does a very fair job of ensuring that people have a chance to participate. The department's done a great job, and I think there would be value in maintaining the continuity there. I would just hope as we go forward, maybe you have time over the week, figure out what you want from the WAG and how we can most effectively serve you. Otherwise, I think if I was in your position, I would have an expectation that I want an answer from the stakeholders. And I don't know, as we're currently set up right now, I don't think we're giving you the information you need.
Thank you. Thank you. Nathan Grimm, please come forward. Okay, Mr. Brown, welcome.
Thank you guys for coming to this region of the state and having this meeting here. I really appreciate that. It gives us an opportunity to speak. I've spoke to some of you guys about the walleye in the Columbia River and the state's attempt to eliminate them from the Columbia River. The impact of the walleye on the salmon is not as greatly as what is being made out to be. I do a lot of fishing in the river, and I also believe that the walleye actually help the salmonoids get down the Columbia River by taking care of another predator of the salmon, which is the northern pike minnow. When you fish in the Columbia River from Pasco down, you hardly ever catch a pike minnow. and they have a sport reward fishery from Priest Rapids down to Columbia. Above Priest Rapids, it's done by the PUDs. And in my research, I found that the PUDs are actually taking more pike minnow out of the river systems than what the sport reward fishery does, which really surprised me. The population of walleye from Pasco down the river is very high compared to from Hanford Reach on up the river. It is not conducive for walleye to survive as small fish because they do not have the feed. The pike minnow, you go up there and fish, you can catch pike minnow by the thousands. Okay, they are a predatory fish. They will go in and eat the reds of the salmon, to where a walleye will not do that. The walleye are actually beneficial to the salmon smolts by eating these pike minnow that are underneath the dams and going onto the red beds. And if you look back at the runs, and I will be sending all you guys an emailed copy of a report, but if you go back to the runs and look up a page of it's called the Chronology Decline of the Salmon. The 1800s was the biggest decline in salmon on the Columbia River due to over-harvest. And then they started coming back. The dams went in, and the dams were not fish-friendly at first. Now we're starting to get runs back again. In the 80s, we had the highest ocean harvest of salmon. The runs went back down again. Now that we've moved the offshore fishing further offshore, we are seeing larger runs, and the walleye just are not impacting these salmon runs at all. And you can look at the runs and tell that. And it's irritating to us over here that I got sent all the data that was used to determine this, and there was not one document about walleye eating salmon in the Columbia River. It was about smallmouth bass on Lake Washington, smallmouth bass in the Yakima River. Those are a lot smaller bodies of water than what's the Columbia is. And the walleye just are not impacting them. And I wish that the game department would take a look at that. And I want just one more note. It's frustrating to us. I got the explanation, and it says written testimonies for this law that most comments supported option one. I looked up all the options. It's not true. Most people did not want the walleye rule to change.
Okay. Thank you. We'll look at that.
And I'll send you guys the information.
Very good. Thank you. Hugh McKeegan, please come forward. Okay, Mr. Grimm.
Good morning, Chair Wecker, Vice Chair Smith, Deputy Anderson, and Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr, and members of the Commission. I'd like to thank you guys for coming over here to listen to us today. Makes it a lot easier to provide you this testimony than having to come from here over to Olympia. My name is Nathan Grimm. I'm a lifelong Washington resident and avid outdoorsman. I'm here today to testify about the inequitable allocation of spring Chinook in the Columbia River. The issues are that the actual geographical distribution of Columbia River anglers based on the state's Columbia River salmon and steelhead endorsements are approximately 60% west side and 40% east side. The distribution of spring Chinook hatchery production is approximately 36% below Bonneville, 64% above Bonneville. The main stem Columbia and Snake River miles that would have harvestable spring Chinook in them, 21% below Bonneville, 79% above. The original policy that is being implemented today was formulated by a working group of anglers from below Bonneville Dam. 90% of that panel was from below Bonneville, representing only 60% of the anglers, and leaving the other 10% of the panel to represent 40% of the anglers. I believe that working group membership resulted in a policy that provides a bias towards the below Bonneville fisheries. The current policy was adopted during the Columbia River fisheries reform process. It was set to expire at the end of 2013, the original policy was, and during conversations with department staff, us above Bonneville anglers were led to believe that a new revised policy would be developed by a geographically representative working group. Instead, the original policy wording was adopted, effectively extending the original biased policy for another 10 years. Working group membership of the fisheries reform process was again approximately 91% below Bonneville, 9% above. As for actual implementation of the current policy, since 2009, approximately 80% of the ESA impacts have been utilized below the dam. We're supposed to get 25% up here. We've only been getting 20. I would argue that a 75-25 split is unfair to start. I would like to ask that the commission assemble another working group to address this issue. There was a group that met. I was a member of that group. The department did not provide us a clear mission, nor was that group of lower river and upriver anglers ever going to reach a consensus, because in order for us to get more, they got to get less. So I would like to ask that the department elevate this, that the commission elevate this issue and somehow get us an equitable distribution of spring Chinook allocation. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Smitten? Commissioner Munkin?
Mr. Grimm, do you have a handout for your...
I provided two different handouts.
Okay, thank you.
With some data.
Commissioner Smitten?
Thank you, Chair. And Mr. Grimm, I know that your commissioner from this area has arranged for a more in-depth briefing for us tomorrow on this issue. In particular, we'll be looking at where the meetings are held, representation of the committee, take below, above many of the issues you've raised, but you can expect us to get a much more in-depth briefing tomorrow as well. So I do appreciate you being here today.
Well, I apologize. I was invited to that briefing, but tomorrow's my opening day of hunting, so.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Excused.
Thank you.
Absence,
yeah,
yes,
you're
thank
excused.
You.
Thanks very much. Look forward to that discussion, too. Okay. Don Dashiel, come forward, please. Okay, Mr. McKeegan.
Morning, and thank you for having me out, giving me the opportunity to speak with you folks, and we really appreciate your efforts to come over to our side. I'm going to keep it short. I agree with the comments made by Mr. Grimm. I'm the reason he's going hunting tomorrow. And us old guys need company. But you know, I really think there's an economic impact here too on our local cities and communities and counties and that type of thing, as far as the opportunity to increase, you know, some of the revenues and some of the benefits of the fisheries. And I would also ask that a more equitable division, you know, maybe a, you know, I'd like to see 50-50, but maybe something like 60-40 might be something could be considered. Because I think the numbers really, really tell what's happening to us here upriver. It's just, it's hard to catch fish up here. And thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Dashiel, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Chairman. Welcome to Eastern Washington. I was in Western Washington yesterday on the WAG committee and back here today, and I'll get home tonight, so... Hope nothing fell apart while I was gone. But I'm commissioner from Stevens County. I represent the roughly 43,000 people that are there. And this morning I just want to talk about the work that our County Fish and Wildlife Advisory Committee does. They were supporters of the antler restriction study. When I went to the meeting in Spokane and we talked about the issues. I noticed it was one of the issues. I just would support the completion of the study rather than making it much of an issue at this point. I agree with Mr. Duvia that some more opportunity for youth would be good. My place, we had, I think, 5 or 6 youth hunters last year, which all got something in their youth season and got does. But I think it would also be an opportunity for them if they saw a buck, whether he's a nice one or one that needs to be taken out for management, that they'd get the chance to do that. A couple of things, and I know you talk about bear and cougar, and we've talked about it before with maybe liberalizing that spring bear season. We have a lot of bear. My place isn't very big, and the fellow that kind of keeps track of that says I have 6 bear on my place that they've got with cameras, and so we have plenty. I know the success rate in spring isn't huge, but if it's restricted by permits, it's the total harvest doesn't amount to too much. I guess as evidenced by this fall, the plenty of bear around. I mentioned a couple years ago that we had so many bear, they were killing each other, so not sure that's the way you want to control their numbers, or it's not the greatest if you have some hunting opportunity you could put with it. I think there was some interest in extending the cougar season. The tools we have for cougar are limited. The population we have for cougar is unlimited in our area, so any opportunity to help control that population, then again, I think would bolster the whitetail comeback. Although my particular place, our whitetail are in good shape. We've had, I think, 10 doe permits for, you know, depredation given to seniors and disabled guys already this year. So it's spotty, but our Northeast Washington is still below normal population levels. So, and I did buy a fishing license this year for my once per decade fishing trip, and I caught 18 walleye. Is that, I forgot to read the rules. Anyway, they were delicious. I'm not like the fellas that catch them and throw them back. That's what I accuse most walleye fishermen of doing, not really controlling the population, just catch and release. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service on the WAG, too. Okay, that concludes the open public input portion of the morning agenda.